Yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just come before you here this night, God. Lord God, we just ask, Lord, that you will continue, Lord, to break out, my God, in our situations, my God. I pray, Lord Father, that you will continue, God, just to break out, my God, within our hearts, God, within our conditions, Lord Father God. We're just praying here this night, my God, it'll be you, Lord, that'll prepare us here this night, God, for all that you want us to do, for thy glory and for thy honor. I pray this and I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, in the God's anointed now generation said, amen. And Victory Outreach Milwaukee said, amen. Come on, go ahead and give the Lord a big hand of praise all over this place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. How many can sense the Spirit of God within this place? Amen. Don't we have a dynamic, powerful worship team? Yes. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise for our worship team. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. I thank God for the worship team. They're able to usher the presence of God. Amen. Because how many know me and you? We need the presence of God. Amen. We need the presence of God. We need the Spirit of Jesus to break every wall. Come on, somebody. Right? To break every barrier. Come on now, right? To come and meet us in our situation. Can somebody agree with me here tonight? Amen. I don't know about you, but I need the presence of God. Amen. I need God to move within my heart. I need God to move within my life. Amen. If that's you, go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Come on, somebody. We praise the Lord. We worship God. Amen. I just want to take this time to thank the Lord for my salvation. Amen. I thank God for stepping into my life. Amen. I know some of the gang girl leadership, they came up here, they testified, amen, what God has reached out to them and what God has pulled them out. Amen. How many know they got a heavy testimony? Right. And I've been serving the Lord within this church now 3 years. Come on, somebody. 3 years, God pulled me out. Amen. I was 21 when I came into the ministry. Amen. I was hooked on drugs, alcohol. Right, gang violence. I thought it was cool to hang out with some cool people in high school. Come on, somebody, where they were able to influence my life in a negative way, in a wrong way, right? Cussing up a storm, amen. But I come to find out that led me nowhere. Amen. It led me nowhere. It led me to addiction. It led me in the county jails. It led me in detox centers, amen. And when nothing could change me, amen. My parents tried their best. Amen. They tried their very, very best. They had big time jobs and they literally tried their best. They tried to put me in a good neighborhood. Amen. But it didn't work. Amen. It didn't work. Amen. Because how many know the devil's real? Right? The devil's real. Amen. His mission is to kill, steal, and destroy your life and my life. Amen. And I just thank God here this day for this opportunity. Amen. To even serve within the God's anointed now generation. Come on. Is the gang in the house here tonight? Amen. Come on, somebody, right? I came in. I came in through the men's home, right? And I was able to graduate the men's home. And, man, my pastor, he invested into me. Amen. Amen. And I went to the UTC. Come on, somebody. Which stands for the Urban Training Center. Amen. The UTC stands for the Urban Training Center, where I was able to go get and equipped and trained for the works of ministry. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love ministry. Amen. I love to serve in ministry. It's a blessing. And I know the Lord has called me to serve within the gang ministries. He clearly showed me in a vision, right? This was going to be my assignment. Amen. And my job, amen, is to fulfill that assignment given by God. Amen. And it's an assignment that I'm not taking lightly here this night. Amen. And I also want to thank God for my pastors, Pastor Charlie. Amen. And Sister Marlene, I thank you, Pastor, for investing in the gang ministry within my life. Amen. And just being here. Amen. To be able to support our youth. Amen. And just to be here to back you up, Pastor. I thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as we get into the word here this night, how many are ready to receive a word? Amen. How many come to the house of God to receive a word on a Friday night? Amen. Go ahead and just turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, And we're gonna be reading some Bible here tonight. Amen. I really believe it's important for this generation, amen, to really intake of the word, to grasp of the word. Amen. You may come here and be like, oh man, this is church, this is service. I'm not really all in that, man. I don't know if I can feel that. Amen. This ain't really lit, you know what I mean? But I come to tell you here tonight that God has something for you. Amen. That God has a plan for you, right? And it's to prosper your life, and it's to bless your life, and it's to give you a future. Amen. It's to give you a bright future. Can somebody agree with me here tonight? Amen. I'll go ahead and go to the book of Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read this couple verses. Amen. Acts chapter 9 is going to be on the screens as well. Verse 1, we're going to do some reading here tonight. Acts chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says this. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Amen. Saul was trying to kill some people. He was trying to kill the Lord's followers, right? He wanted to bring them back in chains. Man, he could care less if you came to church. Amen. He wanted to, if he found out you were a follower of Jesus, amen. If he found out you were a Christian, amen, in his eyes, in his mindset, he was going to try to kill you. Amen. The Bible continues to read in the book of, in verse 3, it says, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, amen, we see that Saul was on a mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Verse 6 says, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Amen. The Lord was giving Saul some instructions here. Amen. Verse 7 says, the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Verse 10 says, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see you again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. Verse 15 says, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Amen. All over this place, go ahead and just bow your heads and close your eyes. We're just going to open up in prayer one more time. Father in heaven, I come before you here once again, my God, and I just pray, my God, that you will remove me to the side, my God. I ask Holy Spirit, God, just to be a vessel, an instrument, God, chosen by you, my God, just to transmit a word, God, that you've given me for this generation, my God. I pray your anointing, Lord Father God. I pray to disappear and you will appear, my God. Hide me behind your cross. I pray this and I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So what we see and what we begin to see in this particular portion of chapter, amen, we see that Saul at the time, come on somebody, we see that Saul, he was on a mission, right? Saul was on a mission to do some dirt. Come on, have you ever met anybody that was on a mission to do some dirt? Right, they were going to go take care of some business. Come on now. Right, one of your friends, maybe he was thinking that, man, I'm going to go tag up the bathroom in the school. I know I did. Right, I was on a mission when I was in high school. I was on a mission when I was in middle school. I was on a mission. Right, I wanted to go tag up some bathrooms, amen, representing the gang I was affiliated with. Come on, somebody. I was on a mission to go do some dirt. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we see also that Saul, he was on a rampage mission to commit sin. Amen. See, Saul was ready to commit murder and any other sin that he was capable of doing. Right? How many know that Saul was a bad dude? Right, he was a crazy dude. He didn't care if, amen, if God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't care if God created you and I, right? He rebelled against God. He didn't like God. And what he wanted to do was kill his followers. He wanted to kill the disciples of Jesus. Amen? Right, but when we see that the mission that Saul was on, it was never fulfilled. He never fulfilled that mission, right? We see that something supernatural took place at this time of his life. There was something spiritual. There was something that, not from the ordinary, but it was extraordinary that took place, right? We even see it in the Bible, right? Even Saul himself, he was tripping. He was like, man, what's going on here? He says, who are you, Lord? Right? What's taking place right now, right? Go with me to verse 3 to 5. I'm going to read verses 3 to 5. The Bible says this, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, right? He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, right? And verse 5 says, who are you, Lord? Saul asked, and the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. See, at this moment, Saul was captivated to sinning against God's people, right? And how many know that, amen, people like you and I, we could be captivated to something. We could be drawn. We could have our attention. Something can capture our eyesight, and we might want to do it, right? It may be something cool in our schools or at our job place, right? And maybe it's the latest clothes, right? We're captivated by it. It captures our attention, right? And we want it. Amen. So maybe we can flash against others. I don't know. Come on, somebody. Right? I title this message here tonight, A Generation Captivated to Christ. Amen. We're still speaking about commitments. Our pastor, amen, he's been speaking about commitments. Right? And we still want to preach commitments. Amen. And it all ties in with being captivated to Jesus. Right, and I believe God wants to show you something that can capture your interest, capture your attention in Christ Jesus. Do we have a generation that agrees with me here tonight? Yeah. Amen. See, I looked up the word captivated, and the definition is showed. It says having one's interest or attention held or captured by something or someone charming. Come on, somebody. Right, someone charming. Something beautiful, something entertaining, and etc. Right? How many know that as a church, as a generation, that we've been captivated to Christ? Right? That there's something charming about Jesus. There's something interesting about Jesus. I may be the only one in this place here tonight that thinks Jesus is charming to me. I may be the only one here tonight that thinks that Jesus is beautiful to me. Amen? It's something capturing, right? It captured my attention. See, I got a question here. What are you captured by here in the ending of this decade? Come on, somebody, right? We're going to enter 2020, right? We're in 2019. We're going to enter 2020 and a decade, a whole decade has already gone by, right? What has captured your attention this past year? Amen. What has entertained you? What caught your interest in 2019, right? We're about to enter to another, amen, another decade. Come on, somebody, right? We got 2020 to go and then 2021, and the list continues, right? Some of us shouldn't be here in 2019. Come on, somebody. Right? When I got stabbed, when I overdosed, right? I thought I was cool hanging out with the cool guys. Come on, somebody. I thought it was cool to hang out with dudes in high school and, amen, and dudes in middle school. I thought it was cool, right? Gang banging and everything, smoking, drinking, right? Cussing. Thought it was all cool, right? I shouldn't be here. Overdosing off of drugs, getting stabbed, right? I've been stabbed twice, inches away from my heart. I shouldn't be here in 2019. Our pastor mentioned that on Tuesday night. We had a men's discipleship downstairs in the gang sanctuary, right? And he was saying, man, people are like, we shouldn't be here, right? But how many thank God for his mercy and grace? Amen. Amen. I thank God for his grace and mercy. Something that we can't forget. What has grabbed your attention this past year? What has captivated you to where you are today, right? And I'm here to testify to you that I've been captivated, amen, by the Spirit of Jesus, right? I've been captivated, amen, to the international ministry that called Victory Outreach, right? I've been captivated, amen, to a spirit of prayer. I've been captivated, amen, to reading my Bible. Amen. I've been captivated, amen, to doing the work of ministry. Amen. To fulfill the assignments of God. I've been captivated. Going on 4 years in ministry as a young person, 24 years old now. In March, I'll be 25. Amen. I was on a mission. And we see in the Bible that Saul was on a mission. He was on a mission. And I was mentioning to a few guys in the home earlier. I said, I was on a mission when I was out there in the world. I was on a mission, right? Hitting 21 years old, I thought I was going to be like, man, I'm going to be in the clubs. I'm going to be in the bars. Come on, somebody, right? I'm going to meet this girl, that girl, right? It's on. I was on a mission. Come on, somebody, right? But God interrupted. At 21 years old, I didn't get to experience none of that, and I thank God for that, right? I thank God that he came upon my life, that he saved my life, that he allowed me to know that those things that I was doing out there in the world, those friends that I was hanging out with in high school, in middle school, what they were trying to show me on their cell phones, the communication, the language that they were speaking was, amen, was incorrect. God was showing me that it wasn't the right way to live. And here tonight, there's a few things I want to share on being captivated by God. Are you ready? Amen. Come on, somebody say, I'm ready. Amen. Number one, being captivated to his presence. Being captivated to his presence, to the presence of God, right? See, the presence of God represents scanning through his word. The presence of God represents glancing through his word. The presence of God, amen, means studying his word, right? The presence of God is getting to know who God is, getting to know his background, right? And how many know that when we get to know somebody, whether it's another brother or another sister, right, and we begin a fellowship with them, amen, and we find out that he or she is a Christian, right? Or maybe on the streets, when we go hit the streets and evangelize, we witness to people, right? How many know that we ask questions, right? We got to get to know them, right? And it's the same thing about God, right? We want to learn more about them, right? We want to learn about Jesus. We want to get to know who Jesus is by reading his word, getting into his presence, learning how to read a couple scriptures. Maybe it's even a chapter. Come on, somebody. Right? I believe all of us know how to read here tonight. We're able to read a chapter of God's word. Right? And that's what we as born-again Christians, we as leaders, right? We as ministers of God's word, disciples of God, that's what we get to do, is exploring the personality of God. Exploring who Jesus is, exploring who God is. As a generation of young people, we got to get to know our Creator. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Right? We got to get to know our Maker. We got to get to know who created us in this world, in this earth, in this city that we live in. We got to know who did this thing. Come on, somebody. Right? We got to learn how to explore his history, his knowledge, the culture, the groundings of God. Why? Because we've been captivated to his presence. We as a people have been captivated to the presence of God. Amen? See, we're not only scanning through his word, but we're conversating with God in an environment of prayer. Right? Is there a generation that knows anything about prayer? Raise your hands if you know anything about prayer. Right? We got to learn how to, amen, to be captivated to the presence of God by in this time of prayer as well. Where we pray to God, we communicate with God. See, as the God's anointed now generation, we must establish a zone, a territory, an environment of prayer. Right? In other words, setting up, amen, a time of prayer, just setting up this time, right? Because some of us, we know how to set up our systems. Come on, somebody, right? We know how to set up our game systems, right? Some of us know how to set up our DVDs, amen, and our DVRs, our Wi-Fi connections. I don't know about you, but I know how to set those things up, right? But as a generation, as the God's anointed now generation, come on somebody, right? We got to know how to establish a zone, a territory, an environment called prayer. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise if you're agreeing with me here tonight. We got to learn how to do these things, set up these things. Amen. As the God's anointed now generation, as a church here tonight, we have to understand simply that prayer is direct communication with our Heavenly Father. That's what prayer is, gang. That's what prayer is. It's just talking to God, right? I can demonstrate for you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for saving my life. I thank you. I pray for my family. I pray that you will cover my parents. I pray that you will cover me in high school, middle school. Come on, somebody. Right? I pray that you cover my dad, my mother. Right? Cover their lives. Strengthen me through this. I pray for the bullies. I pray for this person, that. Help them, God. Right? That's prayer. We're talking to our Maker. We're talking to our God that created you and I. Right? See, a young person, a man or a woman that prays has been captivated to the presence of God. Right, and that's what simply Pastor Felipe was mentioning. We teach all that. We teach all that. Amen. We teach all those things. Prayer, reading the word. Amen. The teachings of God. We teach that here in this church. We teach how to serve. Right? We gotta learn how to serve. We gotta serve in ministry. We gotta serve, whether it's, amen, we orchestrate something within our church, right? Learn how to give a plate of food to the minister, to the pastor, to your brother. Come on, somebody who's serving. Right, but you're doing it with the mindset. You're doing it within your heart. Say, you know, I'm serving Jesus right now. I'm serving Jesus. So I'm going to serve Jesus like this. Right? I want to serve Jesus. I want to influence my friend. I want to influence my mom, my dad, whatever they're going through. I want to give a good word. I'm going to serve Jesus by giving them an encouraging word. I'm going to serve Jesus in that area because he's given me a mouth to speak. Come on, somebody. Right? See, when a young person has been captivated, amen, to the presence of God, we know that they're praying. And we know that we have a prayer night. Come on, somebody. Right? I'm going to say that one more time. We have a prayer night. Right? We have an At the Throne Intercessory prayer night on Wednesday nights. Amen. At 7 p.m. Right? We've been captivated to the presence of God as a ministry, as a church. Come on, somebody. Right? It's something dynamic that's taking place at those prayer nights. It's something supernatural. Right? It's something powerful that takes place when the people come to these altars and they begin to pray and they begin to conversate with God. Right? When you come in, you see a church. You see men and women at these altars broken, crying on their knees. Amen. Shouting out, man. They may be, amen, just, man, thank you, Father God. They may be speeding in prayer, right? But they're captivated to the presence of God. They're being captivated, right? See, there is a shift that takes place from our thinking to the mind of God's thinking. Right? And I just want to share something right here real quick. A human thinking versus a Christian thinking. The human thinking says, I talk to God all the time, right? I don't necessarily have to make it out to prayer nights, right? I don't necessarily, if you call this your church, come on somebody, right? I don't necessarily have to make it out to prayer nights, right? I have my own time of prayer at home, right? But see, this is what the Christian thinking says. Amen? Christian thinking says, I can still go the extra mile. Even if I had a rough day at work, even if I had a rough day at school, there may be times when we're tired, right? Maybe you were exercising. Maybe you were hanging out with your friends. You were playing basketball. Come on, somebody, right? You were playing football. You were playing with your dog. Amen. Right? Right? It may have been too cold outside in this weather. Amen. But the Christian thinker, the mind of God says, I'm going to make it out to prayer. I'm going to be captivated to the presence of God. Amen. I want to get there. I want to make it there. As Sister Marlene said, we want to get ours. Right? We want to get ours. We need to get ours in Christ Jesus, because there's a devil and he's real. I'm going to say that one more time here tonight. There's a devil. He's real. Right? And he's looking to you and I. And amen. He doesn't have any good plans for you and I. Right? He wants to destroy our lives. Right? He wants to steal from us. He wants to kill our lives. He doesn't care if you're 13 years old, 14, man. You may be an athlete in school. He don't care about none of that. His job is to distract you. Right? And to try to attract you with his, amen, deceiving plans. Right? We as a Christian, amen, as a Christian thinkers, right? We say, no matter what's taking place, I will position myself in an environment of prayer, right? Giving God an hour and a half of our time. Giving God an hour and a half of our time. Captivated. Come on, somebody say captivated. In other words, we're being committed to what Jesus is doing. We're being committed to our God, right? We need to be committed to our God. See, being captivated by the presence of God will allow a young person to establish a spiritual commitment to God, right? There's a commitment right now. There's a young generation that's captivated to crazy rap music. There's a generation out here, amen, that's captivated. Right, watching specific images on social media or videos, rated XX, rated RR, right? They're captivated. It captures their interest. And I'm here to tell you that, man, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Right? Because the Bible says that the God of this world is the devil. He's ruling right now, this world. He's ruling. Right? There's principality, there's evil spirits floating constantly, right? And we got to be a generation, right, that's on guard. We got to be a generation that's securing ourselves, right? Because the enemy, I place here simply, see, all this is the device that the enemy uses to trap one's life in destructive behavior. I'm going to say that one more time. All this is a device that the enemy uses to trap one's life in destructive behavior. And I'm able to testify to that because I've done all those things I just mentioned. I've done all that. Right? And my life, amen, I was always in jail. I was always fighting. I was always violent. Right? And I ended up in jail. I had a bad behavior. I was violent. I was angry. I was a mad young person. If you were looking at me the wrong way, man, I was, what's up? What you trying to do right now? Come on, somebody. That's just who I was. Who are you looking at? You want to meet me at the park or what's up? You want to meet here, there, where? That's just who I was. It was because I was polluting myself, right? I was intaking all those areas. I was intaking of those things. The rap music, the crazy rap and the cussing, right? The crazy looking images, the videos that are on social media today. It's crazy. It's getting wicked. It's getting more evil. His presence also includes worshiping God, His presence, being captivated in His presence. It also includes worshiping God, right? In the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 42. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 2, verses 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Verse 46, I'm jumping down. Verse 46 says, they worshiped together at the temple each day. Come on, somebody say, we got to worship God. Each day met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Verse 47 says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Right? We see, amen, what took place in the early church. We see what took place in the early generation, in the earlier generation. Right? We can easily see the spiritual success that they had, the spiritual results that were taking place. The Lord was adding on more people. People were coming to prayer, right? People were worshiping God, right? God was adding on to His church. God was adding on to His people, to His ministry, right? We could see the results that they had. And see, we as an end time generation, right, must value and anticipate for God to move in a mighty and powerful way as they did in the early generation. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Right? Like I mentioned, the days are getting more evil. The days are getting more wicked. It's in the Bible. Right? There's people in Christianity growing cold and turning from the faith and the true faith of God. They're turning away. There's people going back out there and say, you know, I had it better. Right? It's getting evil. It's getting more wicked. There's a generation not even desiring what God has to offer for them, and it's to bless them. Right? I'm here to tell you what the enemy has for you is to bring you failure. What the enemy has for you, right, is to destroy you. That's what the enemy has for you, is to make you look defeated. Right? He wants to silence you. He wants to make you look defeated so others can see it. Right? We got to be a church that got to, amen, learn how to praise God and worship God and pray to God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Right? See, we're not only captivated to His presence, but number two, we're being captivated by the vision. Come on, somebody say the vision. See, the vision of God, right? The vision of God represents staying in alignment with the heartbeat of this ministry, right? The vision allows us to move forward. Outside this vision, we perish, right? How many know about our vision in our ministry, Victory Outreach? Right? We have a vision. It's to reach treasures out of darkness. Right? Our founder, Pastor Sonny, right? He's been establishing churches, rehabilitation homes for men and women that are struggling with addiction. Amen. And he's creating an avenue. He's creating something. Amen. Where there's another man or another woman or another young person that's able to come into the house of God, that's able to come into the presence of God. Amen. And that's able, amen, to be captivated by this vision. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 19. The Bible says, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well to the people of Israel. Right? Jesus had a vision, and Saul was to fulfill that vision. Verse 16 says, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, brother Saul. Come on, somebody, right? He initiated them into Christianity. He said, you're no longer Saul, but you're brother Saul. Come on, somebody, right? You're no longer this brother, but you're a gang warrior now. Come on, somebody, right? You're no longer this brother, amen, that sister, but come on, you're part of the family of God, right? You're part of the vision of God, amen. You're part of Victory Outreach. You're part of this Christianity walk. Can somebody say amen? He says, who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. And verse 19 says, afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Amen. See, Saul, he was handpicked by God. He was selected. Right? God called him. Right? And it was to fulfill the vision of God. God wanted to use him. Right? And it was to he was to simply go and testify and preach about the kingdom of God. That's what Saul was to do. Right? He was to testify. He was to share. Amen. What the grace and mercy of God, what God done, amen, in a person's life. And how many know he was wicked? He was evil. Right? He was on some dirt. Come on, somebody. I believe we all know somebody that be on some dirt. Right? That's always trying to handle some business. Come on, somebody. Right? That's always trying to do this and do that. Right? I'm here to let you know that God has given our ministry a vision. God has given, amen, myself a vision for the gang. Right? We have a vision within the God's anointed now generation. Right? And it's for young people to be bridged over to the local movement, for young people to be bridged over, amen, to this ministry, right? To take their place, to rise up, amen, to be trained and equipped for the works of ministry, right? That's the vision. And one day it would become an international movement. Come on, somebody. And I got a question here tonight for a young generation. Is there young people here tonight that desire to serve Jesus? Yes. Do we have a young generation that says, you know what, I want to serve Jesus. I want to be friends with Jesus. Right? I want to see what Jesus can do in my life. I want a future. Right? I want to be blessed. I want to be used of God. Right? Do you want to live for him? Because God wants to use you within this movement. He wants to use your life. You could be 13, amen, you could be 11 years old all the way to 35. Come on, somebody. Right? God wants to use you within the God's anointed now generation. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Right? Even young Timothy himself, right? He wanted to be a part of the move of God. He was shadowing, amen, his leadership. He was shadowing Paul. Right? He was Saul, but he became Paul. Amen. There was a young man that was looking and that was evaluating. He was examining, sharpening. He said, you know what? I could use some of that. I would like some of that. Right? I want to see what God has for my life. Amen. See, I need some young people that are willing to position themselves within this movement called God's Anointed Now Generation. Right? We want to bring some young people on board to this local movement. Amen? We are a movement. We have a vision, right? Discipling young men and young women to be all that God has called them to be. Right? Because Paul lived it. He walked it. He discipled. He trained. He established churches. He did this. He did that. Great works for the Lord. Right? But when you see our movement, our international movements, right? When you see what God is doing, God wants to use you as well. Not only our founders, the eldership, the global leadership, God wants to use you. He wants to use you to, amen, reach out to your friends in high school, in middle school, right? Even people that are at their daily jobs, he wants to use you to reach out to other people, other employees, to testify, to share about the goodness of God. See, not only... Amen. Not only are we captivated to his presence and captivated to this vision, but number three, captivated to the gospel. We got to be captivated to the gospel. See, at this particular moment, Paul now was being used by God and he was testifying, he was sharing how God saved him from his evil ways. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 16 through 18, the Bible says, now get to your feet. Turn your neighbor and say, we got to get to our feet. Get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness Tell people that you have seen me and tell them what I will show you in the future. Amen. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Amen. At this point, right, Paul was sharing with the Jews and Gentiles. Come on, somebody. He was blasting for Jesus. Amen. How many know that when we go out there and hit the streets, we blast for Jesus? Right? We testify about Jesus. Right? We let people know what Jesus has done within our lives. Right? And Paul, amen, he saw at the time he had an encounter with God. Right? The Bible says that there was a light that shone around him. Right? He was on a mission. He wanted to go, amen, capture some people that were following the way. Come on, somebody that was following Jesus. He wanted to bring them back in chains. He wanted to humiliate them. He wanted to kill them. Right? But God stopped them in his tracks. Come on, somebody. Right? God stopped them in his tracks. Right? And he was being used to preach, to blast for Jesus. And go with me to the book of Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 49. I'm going to close real soon. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 49, the Bible says this: the following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. Verse 47, for the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. Verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for this message. And all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Amen. See, we see throughout this portion of Scripture that the Jews rejected the gospel. Right? They rejected the gospel. Amen. But we see the Gentiles, they accepted the gospel. Right? They accepted what Jesus and what God had for their lives. Right? That Jesus died on the cross for you and I. Right? God took our sins and he knew that there was going to be a sinful world. Right? And he's given us an opportunity and a privilege to be saved, to be set free. Amen. So we can serve him. So we don't have to experience eternal hell. Right? See, Paul was being used to transmit the word of God to the hearts of people. And the listeners within that crowd became believers. In other words, there was a people in the crowd. Come on, somebody. There was a people, amen, on a Friday night gang service. Come on, somebody. There was a crowd, amen, on a Sunday celebration service, right? There was a people, amen, that heard the word of the Lord. And they say, you know what? I'm not going to live this life no more. Amen. I'm not going to hang out with those people no more. Amen. I'm going to turn my focus to God. I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus. And I want to be a chosen instrument called by God. Come on, somebody. The listeners, they were captivated to the gospel. See, a young person that's been captivated by the gospel lives for the gospel. In other words, when you hear the word, as you're doing here tonight, you're hearing the word. You're listening to the word. You're listening to the messenger, right? When you hear the word, something deep down within you wants to apply the word. Amen. As the worship team can make their way. There's something deep within inside of you that says, you know what, man, I'm hungry for this Jesus thing. I want to serve Jesus. There's something that takes place when the word of God is going forth, when the word of God is being transmitted. I don't know about you, man, but when I came into that home, come on, somebody. When I came into that men's home, that victory home, I wanted to change. I wanted to change, man. I felt like, hey, man, God pulled me out at 21, but I felt like I basically lived 40 years of my life. Because I was going through so much. It started at 9 years old. I was already experiencing depression. I was already seeing my family. I was already seeing, amen, my parents going through the ups and the downs and breakups, right? I was experiencing those areas within my life, right? I wanted to change when I came to that home. I wanted to change, and I wanted to see God restore. I wanted to see God do something different within my life. Right? And when I was in that home, come on, somebody, when I was hearing the message every Wednesday prayer night, when I was hearing the message every Friday night, when I was hearing the message every Sunday morning, when I heard the message, the devotion, the Bible studies every morning, right? Something was taking place within my life. I was changing on the inside. God was softening my heart from being so violent, so crazy, right? To becoming, amen, having a peaceful heart, right? To becoming kind, right? To saying hello, come on, somebody. That was far from me. I didn't know how to greet. I didn't know how to do any of that. I would look at you the right, even if you were a church person, I was mean mugging you. And I did that to a lot of church people, actually. When I was out there in the world, I was mean mugging everybody. I didn't care. I was looking at you crazy. But when I was hearing the word, amen, there was something taking place within my life, and I wanted to apply that. I wanted to apply the word. I wanted to practice the word. As Pastor Felipe said when he was picking up the offering, we have an opportunity, we have a privilege to practice the word that went forth here this night. We know that Paul lived for God. We know that he lived for the gospel. Right? We see our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, the elders, our pastors, our leaders. Come on, somebody. They're living this gospel thing. They've been captivated. They've been captivated, amen, which allowed them to be committed to God, to Jesus. We ourselves should want to live and be even willing to serve Jesus. To serve, right? Our international God's Anointed Now Generation overseer, Pastor Ryan Kalinske, right? He says God's Anointed Now Generation is a movement inside this international movement. We're a movement. We're a young generation that's on the move. And God wants to do something special, young person, young man, young woman. Young men that are in the home, come on, somebody. God has something special for your lives. There's a purpose. There's an assignment for us. There's an assignment for all of us. All over this place, let's go ahead and stand. We need some young, radical people that are going to be willing to answer the call. To fulfill the assignments of God, we need a people, a generation that's going to say, you know what? I want to be captivated by Jesus. And if that's you, I want to open up these altars. These altars are open. I want to lead you to these altars. I want to lead you to Jesus. Come and make your way, God's Anointed Now generation. Come make your way.